Have you ever loved somebody? The way God loves somebody. He loves you.
Granted, and then when they're gone, you miss them when you're gone. Sheila G.
Amen, amen. And you know, as you were saying that, I thought about our parents and how they put stuff into us, poured the Spirit, they gave us direction, they told us the way that we should live, and because they told us that I'm not going to be with you always, and I expect you to carry on. And I remember when Dad was really getting sick, kind of the God led him to show you everything that you needed ahead of time so that you could take care of Mom. So it was almost like the Holy Spirit poured it within him that he was going to be at a position that he wouldn't be able to do what he needed to do. So early on, he put things in place. So then when he was starting to transition, you were able to pick up without a beat. And then when he passed, He told us everything that we needed to do. And that last day that I was with him, he said, and we all knew that it was his time to transition, he said that all your brothers know, I'm proud of them. I gave everything that y'all needed to have in you. Carry on in the Spirit of the Lord. And he gave us a thumbs up. And as you were reading that just now, it was one of those bittersweet things when both our parents transitioned, but they still instilled in us. That's why at their homecoming services, we had a celebration, even though we missed them, because they foretold us what was going on and that we're going to miss you, but I've put enough in you. I lived the life before you. You are going to go on and carry on in the Lord's will, the family name.
Amen, and that's what's so important about, I would say, the living a life, that your life can speak for you. Dr. G, you, I believe it was on the last time we were together, you said you don't want the kids to climb it, crying and climbing up in the coffin because you did what you had to do while you were living. That's why it's so important for us to live a life, let our life we live speak for us, because it will speak after we're no longer here. And so we have to set an example while we are here. Dr. G.
Well, you know, you're right. And that's basically what Paul is doing. And he is just setting the stage for when he does leave. But you're right, you know, but we live in a world now where people just don't get it. You know, they're too busy living their lives, and, you know, we forget about those that have raised us or given us all of the things that we need. And it's the same with people who take the Lord for granted. You know, we just forget everything that God has done. And we don't think about it until, you know, we lose everything and we hit rock bottom. And for a lot of people, that's what it takes to wake folk up. But, you know, when you have folk in your lives and they set the proper example, you need to give God thanks and thank him every day for it.
Amen. Amen. That is so powerful. And we just have to keep that on the forefront. The ball went down, and you know, he was letting them know about the wolves and sheep clothing. He was letting them know that he wasn't taking advantage of them with the money thing. And, you know, he was going to edify and build them up and with tears. And in other words, he dedicated his life to serving the Lord. And by dedicating his life to serving the Lord, he was serving others. And he was letting them know that he was going to complete the course. And these last eight chapters, we're going to see Paul go through persecution. I wouldn't say the same as Jesus went through persecution, but he's going to go through persecution for proclaiming the truth and teaching and preaching the gospel. And there's some parallels as he goes from he's going to go to Jerusalem. He's going to be persecuted. Then he's going to go to Rome, where he's going to be persecuted and ultimately live out his last days. But it just lets us know that nobody promised the road was going to be easy.
Right.
The only thing Jesus promised is that he was going to be there with us. And,
right.
You know, that's a sobering thing to think that, you know, we're going to be going through some ups and some downs and some difficult times, but the Lord is going to be with us. And so it's bittersweet. And then on the back end of ministry, to know that you've done your best, did not fail to present the gospel, that you always set the example, and you didn't leave any stone unturned. And so you have that assurance that, you know, when Paul said, I finished my course, I kept the faith, I finished my course, and now it's time for me to be offered. And that's the satisfaction that you can get, the fulfillment of ministry, is that in spite of what, you know, everyone else says, in spite of what everyone else did, and in spite of the ups and downs, you know for sure that your relationship with the Lord was preeminent, and that you did what was required. And, you know, you have to let the chips fall where they're going to fall, and you let the life that you live speak for you. And so Paul is getting ready to head to Jerusalem in that chapter 21. And it reminds me, Sheila, of his commitment when he's getting ready to meet these disciples as he's sailing from ship to ship and from port to port on his way to Jerusalem. It reminds me of our dad, that Paul said that Paul's going to run into some people that are going to prophesy and minister to him. And tell him that he's going to be bound, he's going to be beaten, he's going to be persecuted. Mm-hmm. But he was determined that even though this was going to happen, and they begged him, don't go, he was going because he was concerned for the people. He was concerned of fulfilling the mission that God had given him. He was concerned about carrying it out. And so he left the children and the people at the cities, and he went on to Jerusalem. And I was saying that reminded his dad is when he would go to Korea or go to Vietnam, and we would be sad and cry. Yeah. But he was going because he was concerned about the lives of the people of the country that he was going to be going there. He was concerned about us who would be back in the States. And so he understood what his assignment was, and he carried it out in spite of those who would cry and tell him, hey, it's going to be dangerous and all those things. He was a brave man, and he was a man of faith. And he went ahead and did what was required to take care of his country and to look out for those in the war-torn countries. And I thank God for that example. And then here recently with the uprising in Europe, with the same places that he went, in NATO and Germany and Poland, that you have a war-torn country in Ukraine, where they sent all of the women and children to Poland, and the men were required to stay and to fight the battle. And it's just something to see from generation to generation where people will stand up for what is right, in spite of the difficulties, in spite of the challenges of war or any other challenges where it might require you to be persecuted, or even as Paul, or even as some in war, to give their lives. And so, you know, it's important to see what it is to be committed to doing the right thing for God, doing the right thing for your family, doing the right thing for your country, doing the right thing in general, in order to be in a position to make a difference for the cause of righteousness, Sheila G.
And the key to that and understanding that is sometimes doing the right thing is not comfortable. Sometimes doing the right thing can be painful. I'm sure if Paul were to knowing what he was going to go through, he was not blinded, because he used to persecute Christians himself before he became a Christian. So now that he's done the worst of worst, trained more prophets, gone through, talked to people, you know, converted more. The church grew. So he knew when he was leaving them physically, emotionally, he was getting ready to go through hell. But he knew that no matter, you can touch my body, you can try to mess with my mind, but my spirit is, I belong to God. And as long as I'm being faithful to the Lord, I can go through this storm, and he's going to give me peace. We had a testimony this past Wednesday, and one of our members was saying that, you know, I've been really getting into my Bible. I've been really studying and reading about the Lord. And now I'm waking up, and I'm happy. I have joy. My situation may still be challenging. Things may be hitting me emotionally, but I have joy. And we just started talking about the fact that we're more than conquerors, but we're more than conquerors because we're in Christ Jesus. So that's the attitude that Paul has in the book of Acts, that, okay, I've done what the Lord's told me to do. Now it's time for me to move on. But what I'm doing, I'm not doing it in vain. Now, if we do things based off our emotions and how we feel and what we think and how it's going to make us, we're doing it in vain. We're doing it unto death. But he's doing this for Christ unto life. And he's forgetting about himself, his fleshly self, but walking in the spirit. And that's what a faith walk is. And that's how you can have be unhappy or be in an unhappy situation, but still have joy because you know the Lord is with you.
Amen. Dr. G, you want to comment on that?
Yeah. Growing up, as far as in my ministry, my motto, and Priscilla had to remind me of that, was always, may the work I've done speak for me. And, you know, we have to get to a point where we understand that we're not working for man. We are working for the Lord. And it seems that, you know, we're living in a day and time where people, I don't know if they get it, if they understand or what, but it's just like pulling teeth to get folks to the point where they get it. You know, we're working for the Lord, and there's going to come a time when each of us are going to have to transition on to another place. But our job is to set examples, to preach, to teach, to be witnesses, to do all that the Lord wants us to do. And you're right. You and Sheila were right. No, it's not going to be a bed of roses. You know, we're going to have, we have some tough days. We have some hard days, even pastoring churches. It is not a, because you've got to deal with the different personalities. You've got to deal with the emotions. And when folks don't feel like coming to church, guess what? They don't come. They won't call. They're not going to say anything to you. They just don't show up. They don't want to give. They don't want to give God the praise. So it comes a point where we have to stay the course, because that's what the Lord has called us to do. And Paul was at that point. He realized that he knew what his job was. So he could say, you know, may the work I've done speak for me.
Amen.
Well said. And, you know, you look at that and you're thankful that God has placed this in his word, that we have examples and that people from all generations and our peers and reading through chapter 20 and 21, Paul's going to run into some great people along the way. Even one, I call him an elder disciple, or an old king, I believe the King James is an old disciple, that assisted him along the way. And so we have to be thankful to the disciples or the followers of Christ, who a disciple is of Jesus, the followers of Christ that help us along our journey, to help us along in ministry. And I'm thankful for all of those who have helped in the years of ministry we've been in ministry. Been some young, been some old, middle age that have participated and helped us along the way. And so as we look at this next chapter, we'll see all the stops that Paul makes. And all the places that God will have somebody, which is an awesome thing. And you can take comfort that in ministry, you're serving the Lord. God is always going to have somebody to help you along the way.
Yep,
and to
right.
encourage you, a word of encouragement, to pat you on the back, to put a
yes.
Band-Aid on you, to
yes.
wipe a tear, blow your nose. always along the way, and you become, as the longer you're in ministry, you appreciate it, and you're like,
yes.
I appreciate, you know, brother so and so, I appreciate sister so and so, I appreciate the kids' joy, I appreciate, you know, a laugh, I appreciate, you know, a phone call or a text or something. But as Paul is going toward Jerusalem, going toward Rome, you'll see the stops. We'll see the stops that he makes and the people that God has placed along his journey to assist him in ministry. Sheila G.
Amen. And that's what's important, too, is just like Satan will use people to come at us, God will use people to encourage us. God will use
yeah.
people to comfort us. And if you're walking with him, you will know the difference. You will know whether it's like when we were talking about in chapter 20, when he said those close to you will be like wolves and coming at you.
Mm-hmm.
You'll know the wolves versus the ones that are there to encourage you, because it'll hit your spirit. And sometimes I know I've done things where I've sent a text to somebody arbitrarily, just, hey, just checking on you, seeing how you're doing. And they were like, thank you for that word. I just needed that. And it's not even anything
mm-hmm.
big,
mm-hmm.
but it's just that person recognizes that it's coming from the Lord. And the closer you draw from him, just as we say, Satan, get behind me, when Satan's sending someone or is using someone to attack us, we need to say, thank you, Lord, for the God wink when he sent someone our way to encourage us.
Amen. Amen. So let's go to Acts chapter 21. And here Paul is on his way to Jerusalem. And we'll start at verse 1. And it says, after we had torn ourselves away from them, we put out to sea and sailed straight to Kos. The next day we went to Rhodes, and from there to Patara. And again, these are the stops along the way. And again, I was thinking about, you know, our dad, when he'd have to go from this airport to this airport to this airport to get to this destination. And sometimes when we were traveling with him, we would stop at this base or stop at this place. There would be someone there late at night to let us in a room or a hotel, or, you know, on a flight where you're the last one out of the airport, or, and,
yeah.
You know, there was this, always this traveling, but it was traveling with purpose and with family and with love. And so here Paul is spent a couple of days out to sea. And then when you get to verse 2, it says, we found a ship crossing over to Phoenicia and went on board to set sail. And so there were small ships, small journeys, small hookups or rendezvous to get ready to set sail. And again, when we were going to Germany, we had to get the house packed up, and then we had to go stay with people, and we had to get people to come and to pick us up and take our stuff to the airport. And when we got certain places, we weren't in our regular house, but we had to go
yeah.
to a temporary housing. And, you know, when we were traveling, they would call them, I forget, what was it called? Was it BOQ? Some place where we would stay, and we would have to have family, half the family in one room and half the family in another location.
Yeah, billeting housing. Yeah, temporary housing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so you would do that, but it was all a part of the mission. Nobody got upset.
Right.
Nobody. I mean, we were tired, and sometimes we
yeah.
were cranky, but we all uh-huh. know we were traveling, and we were on a mission, and a mission for, you know, for good, as far as, you know, protecting the country at home and abroad. And
right.
and so that's what we learned about the military life. And, you know, even when they were leaders, top leaders in the church, they would always be faithful to make sure the church was open, make sure that the choirs were prepared, make sure
right.
that the Sunday school lesson was prepared, make sure they had touched base with the pastor, make
yeah.
sure that they had the groups together. And they were a constant fixture of serving God, whether it was on a secular job or whether it was in ministry, to understand that there was a purpose in life and that there was a need for committed service. Sheila G.
Amen. And as you're talking about that, I was actually relating it to the church. And I think it's one thing that we really learned in life and in the ministry and in our Christian walk, it's a journey. It's not, you know, it's a marathon. It's not a sprint. It's a process. And it's not about the building. And God really showed that, because for the churches that are still standing, but some of the churches, they ended up closing because everybody was traditionally or ritually attending church instead of understanding this is our purpose. Our purpose is to serve God, to serve one another, to grow closer to the Lord. So if we don't have the building, we don't just stop. Yes, is right. It more of a challenge? Is it more difficult? No, we regroup, we ask the Lord to lead us, and God will provide. And he provided a way, whether it be through Blog Talk, whether it be through Zoom, whether it be through those that had hybrid services, Facebook or whatever, to continue on the journey towards Christ. But if you don't have that faith and that strength in him, you will stop and say, well, shoot, it was easy to go to the building. We don't have the building. Oh, I guess that means we don't have church. No, you push through. You persevere. You trust in the Lord and not in the things of this world. And that's where you see in this journey, he knew where God needed him to go. First, he had to break away. He knew he was in trouble, but they are still, he knew he was leaving them and he was heading towards persecution, but he was doing it in the name of the Lord. So each step, this was part of that journey, part of that trip. You stop here, you stop there. And it doesn't go into detail, but I'm sure there's times it's like, okay, like we did was trying to figure out how to do church with Blog Talk Radio. It got exhausting. It was like, okay, yeah. Lord, how do you want me to do this? Okay, I'm going to trust in you because it's a hot mess right now, but I'm going to take me out of it and allow you to do that. And that's why you do that step-by-step process and understand it's a journey. It's not something where you just wake up and boop, we're here now, ready to do this. Nope. As part of that journey, that's what helps you to grow.
Amen. Dr. G?
One thing I would add, you know, to be a part of that journey, and I think you and Sheila hit on it earlier, it takes real commitment. You know, people have to really make up in their mind whether or not they're serious or not about the journey. Too often folk get on the journey for whatever reason, but then they kind of fall back and they don't follow through. But it's important, and you know, whatever part of life you're into, that you're committed to what you're doing, and especially for the cause of Christ. That's the only way you're going to continue on. And when you look at Paul, Paul was committed.
Amen. Amen. So let's pick back up in chapter 21, verse 3. He says, after sighting Cyprus and passing to the south, we sailed on to Syria. We landed at Tyre, where our ship was to unload its cargo. And again, that journey, that process, it wasn't fast, it wasn't glamorous, but they were committed to the journey. So they went from this ship caught a ride on this ship, and you know, they got a transfer to this ship, and they had to unload the cargo here. And then pick up in chapter 21, verse 4, it says, we sought out disciples there and stayed with them 7 days. So it's again, these are the people that are there that God places in your path that will minister to you. And you know, I would think of the times where we would run up and down the road with Dad, and we stop at this cousin's house, or we'll stop at that cousin's house, and you know, you go in and get something to eat, a place to sleep. Sometimes we would sleep on the floor, on the couch, wherever. But it was a welcome place and welcome faces and loved ones that would accompany you for a day or two. And sometimes we would stay, you know, over here or pop over here, North Carolina or South Carolina, or, you know, on the way down to Georgia or Roanoke or wherever it was, you would hang out over there and you know, you would have fellowship with those along the way. And it's important for us to continue that fellowship and have that fellowship along the way, and to seek out like-minded people in the gospel, because it will allow you, and what I say is to enjoy the journey more.
Yeah.
And even though it's up and down, you talk and you laugh and you think about the children, wow, the children are growing, and you enjoy watching the children and those who are small and those who are maturing, and all the stories that go along with that, whether you had braces, whether you had glasses, whether you lost teeth, or whether you had a birthday. Grandma used to always send us a dollar in the mail and for your birthday. And, you know, you would just go down there and you would along your way, you would be encouraged along your way, even though you knew you had a ways to go or that the way was going to be difficult, but it allowed you to enjoy the journey. So it wasn't always a thing of, oh boy, here we go. But it was a thing of, okay, on this journey, like Paul here, he says, you know, he sought out the disciples there and he stayed with them 7 days. Sheila G.
And it's interesting, the 7 days, because, you know, it was the 7 days that God took to create the heaven and earth here and man. So it's like amazing that it's the same thing. It's like, okay, here's the time for you to rest. And that's something that we need to understand as well. Sometimes we are too busy to let God in. And sometimes when we're going through our journey, we're going through this, that, and the other, we do need to sit down and allow God to minister to us, whether it's through someone else or just us having that private time, because you will lose yourself if you just get too busy for the Lord. So it's kind of like in here these 7 days, he's with like-minded people, because I'm sure they were tired. I'm sure they were exhausted. They're still human. So you don't know, because, yes, as much as we used to love to go to trips, but if we were all up in that car on top of each other, inevitably somebody was whining about somebody touching them or looking at them. You know, but when we got to stop, then it was a more relaxing, taking a breath and enjoying that journey. So we, too, need to recognize that we sometimes need to stop and look around, smell the roses, thank the Lord that he brought us through and he brought us to, and then we can continue on. But we need to do that refueling. And that's why it's important that we do prayer service, Bible study, church on Sunday. Not just to check off a box, but so that we can get that refueling station from other disciples so that we can carry on. Otherwise, we're going to keep getting going. Our physical bodies, our mental bodies will burn out, and then that just opens the door for Satan.
Amen. And you know, even as our parents were ill, I enjoyed our conversation, whether we were riding in the car or we were following up with each other weekly on the phone, about, you know, the different things that mom was going through or dad was going through, and we had that time to laugh and to sometimes you have to laugh to keep from crying, and, you know, just the things of, all right, I can't deal with it this week, you deal with this week. And it was just that camaraderie of, you know, it's a difficult journey in facing end of life, and if anybody's ever been with a loved one or family member facing the end of their life or the end of their journey, it's not easy. And if anybody tells you it's easy, they lying to you. But if you have someone to come alongside, and we never got down to a point where we were just ready to give up. But we encouraged each other, and we enjoyed the last part of their journey of life before they transitioned. And you have to have people along the way. Like I said, we'd have our rides together where we would ride, where we talk together. And it was something where you would encourage me and I would encourage you, and we always knew that we had each other's back. And that's what the disciples of Jesus should be. And it used to be like that in the church, where the church had each other's back. And we had times where, you know, if the men needed to do something or the women needed to do something or something needed to be done, they just came together and they did it. and they did it because of their love of God and their relationship with God and each other. Sheila G.
Actually, Dr. G had a comment, too.
Right.
Well, that support system that you were talking about is important.
Can you still hear?
Yeah.
Yeah, that support system is important. And the Lord knew that, you know, he put in his word that Christ came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. But in order to do that, you've got to be able to fall on someone, cry on somebody else's shoulder. You know, everybody goes through something, and none of us are so great in what we have to deal with that we can handle it all. There comes a point when each of us going to have to depend on somebody else that we can just confide in, just to talk with, just to, you know, share. And I share with the congregation all the time that, you know, we're here to help you all. And, you know, a lot of times the folk were telling me, well, Pastor, I didn't want to bother you, didn't want to call you, you know, you're at work, you're busy. And I had to let them know this past Sunday that, look, I may be at work, but it's my office. And if you need me, pick up that phone and call. I'll take a few minutes just to listen to you, just to give you some words of encouragement, because being on this journey for Christ, as we've already said, it's tough. And for new believers, they've got to have somebody, you know, that support system, somebody that they can go to, that they can feel comfortable with, that will give them what they stand in need of. That's why, you know, I look at Sheila's G, what she does now, sending, you know, text messages every day, Joyce Meyer, you know, songs, whatever. All of that helps us to get through what we have to contend with on a daily basis.
Amen. Amen. Sheila G., you want to jump in on that?
Yeah, I was just saying, yeah, the same thing, that I think sometimes Satan wants to put it in our mind that we should have faith enough and just God and I, and if I can't just take it to the Lord and the Lord deal with it all by myself. But this is showing God puts people in your path to encourage. Yes, you have your own personal relationship with him. Yes, you have your own devotional time. Yes, you're learning to listening to him. But sometimes God will speak through someone else directly to you, and you'll feel it. You'll be like, okay, I was walking then, and then, like, you'll get a message, and you're like, okay, Lord, I know that came from you. But sometimes, especially it happens when you're far, far along the journey or at the beginning, you think, I got this. You know, I think it's just me and the Lord. All I got to do is talk to the Lord, and I'm not going to worry about it. But we are still human, and God recognizes that we're human. And so, yes, he puts prayer partners, encourages right there for us, and we should not be so prideful that I can't say that I'm saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, filled with the Holy Spirit. But sometimes the devil is kicking my butt, and I need somebody to encourage me.
Amen. And like Dr. G was saying, that support system is so important because in this human flesh, sometimes you get tired, sometimes you get weary. The Lord, like you said, Sheila G, the Lord knows that we're human. And so it was good to see Paul in that chapter 21, verse 4, go and seek out disciples and stay with them 7 days. And you know, them going and reaching out, saying that I need that fellowship. And sometimes we have to put down that food pride and say, hey, I need to be too. And I used to tell people all the time, I need to get some good ministering too. you know, you keep pouring out, It's good to have somebody pour into you. And it's important, and you have to know when to seek that out and not to be too proud, you were saying, I need to be ministered to. You can't do it all by yourself. Right. And so in the second part of that verse, chapter 21, Acts chapter 21, verse 4, the like you were saying, Sheila G, the Lord will speak through or use people, and you'll get a message. And so the second part is the people that he saw, these disciples he sought out, they were through the Spirit telling Paul what God had shown them. And so even though they saw it and they told him what was going to happen and they didn't want him to go through it, Paul knew that this was God letting him know that he had further to go and that it wasn't going to be a pleasant journey. And so, but because the disciples had received that message, they was like, "Oh Lord, you know, this is not good. Please don't go." But in again, referring back to the wars that Dad went to, it was like, "Oh, this is not a good thing. Please don't go." But he knew his responsibility, his commitment, and he went anyway. And so, this is what Paul is doing: is he's getting this message through these disciples that he's staying with. And we'll read the second part of that verse. He says, through the Spirit, this is Acts 21, verse 4, the second part of the verse, he says, through the Spirit, they urged Paul not to go to Jerusalem. And you know, when you get to that verse 5, it says, when it was time to leave, we left and continued on our way, all of them, including wives and children, accompanied us out of the city, and there on the beach we knelt and prayed. And so, again, the women and the children came that they were with, and so, you know, they were like, okay, you welcome us out to the beach, we're getting ready to sail off. And you know, they just had this thing that, you know, they didn't want him to go because it was revealed to them the trouble that was there. And so they accompanied him to out to the city and to the beach. And it's like at the end of chapter 20, what did he do? He knelt and he prayed. And again, you got to have prayer along this journey. Lord have mercy. I always laugh at Dr. G always say, I'm going to go pray because sometimes. That's the only thing you can do to keep some sanity, because a lot of times along the journey, things don't make sense. And so the best thing you can do is just to go and pray and realize, you know, prayer. If you can get a prayer through, you can get through. Dr. G, help me out.
Well, you know, I laugh about it now because when I was younger, I would stress, you know, over stuff that was taking place. I would get upset, and it would bother me to the point where I couldn't sleep, never stopped eating, but couldn't sleep. You know, it rested on my mind. And I had to learn that rather than bottle all of that frustration and the stress, you know, Lord said, give it unto me. So that's what I started doing. And I find that when you pray, when you go pray and you just give it to the Lord, you know, it frees your mind because the Lord can deal with it better than I can. Sometimes I don't have an answer. Sometimes I don't know what to do other than pray for you. I mean, and it's the same thing in dealing in life. You know, life is just unfair sometimes. Family members, you know, they get mad with you. You know, all kinds of crazy junk go on. And sometimes the only thing you can do is pray. Mm-hmm. And I tell you what, praying will help keep you from beating down somebody on the head.
You can comment on that.
Well, there's something that's very powerful in these scriptures that you just read in reference to prayer. And two of them, and I've been on this journey for a while, but it's, you know, how you can read the scripture and it really makes clear why we do certain things in the church. And and Acts really brings them out, you know. And this one, I think about when we have new converts join the church. And one of the things that we give God the glory, we give God the praise, prepared to give them the right hand of fellowship. But Pastor G always says, once they've given their life to Christ, that the devil is mad. And so I don't want you to go out of here now that you made this victorious stuff, you committed yourself to the Lord. He is going to be with you, but you're going to be under attack. So if he's saying that in the spirit, which is what the disciples were saying to Paul in the spirit, that I don't want you to go because it's going to be ugly out here. So, but he says, well, we're going to pray. So that's why in the church, when someone comes and they can give their life to Christ, we pray. We're not praying amiss. We're praying because we know that there's trouble outside the door, and you're a fresh convert or whatever, you really made it, or you rededicated your life, Satan's going to try to upset you. The other thing is what I talked about a couple of weeks ago where, you know, pastors and people have always said it's really not good to leave before the benediction because, again, that's another prayer of protection that you've gone to church, you've given God the glory, you've given God the praise. Satan is mad. So the second you step out there, he's going to try to do something to trip you up. So let's pray. Otherwise, you may as well just stay in a church and not move. But we can't do that. Because we have to live our lives, we have to accept the fact that there's going to be trials, there's going to be tribulations. You want to run and hide from it, but you can't because it's still going to be there. So, but because you got to go through the storm, prayer is the answer to get you through it.
Amen. Yeah, amen. And Paul has set this example. Jesus has set this example. Ancestors, parents have set this example. Prayer is the thing that's going to get you through it.
Yes.
And in that, that verse 6, it says, after saying goodbye to each other, we went aboard the ship, and they returned home. And again, it's like you take, in modern day, you're taking your loved one that's going overseas to the airport, you pray.
Yep.
They get on the plane, you go home. And you can continue the journey, and you can continue to pray one for another. But the work of the Lord or the business will continue. And again, this the Bible and Acts is teaching us practical Christian living to let us know of the human side, and it's not just religious, but there's a human side, a spiritual side. And the two converge together, and you have to learn to navigate life in the physical and the spiritual and to stay the course and stay on the journey and know there's going to be ups and downs and know there's going to be moments where you might be unsure, and but we have to trust God that he will guide us along the way through all of our ups and downs and pitfalls and all of those things that come our way. But we just have to remember to pray and trust God. And as we pray and trust God, he will guide us along our journey. Like sometimes you would call him, he's our tour guide.
Yeah.
He'll guide us along the way and let you know all the ups and the downs, the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Yeah.
And we have to be encouraged along the journey. And I think that's going to be our question tonight is the importance of being encouraged or encouraging somebody along the journey. You know, the importance of receiving encouragement and giving encouragement, how important it is to this walk that we're walking for the Lord. So we're going to go to our first caller. Last four digits going to be 6309. Good evening.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Good evening. Yes, I do now know the importance of giving encouragement and being encouraged. It's a blessing. It's a helpful. It's one of the God winks, as Sister Gregory always says. It's important to be encouraged. It's important for you to give encouragement. And you don't have to have no scholarship. You don't have to have no college degree. You don't have to have none of that.
That's right.
You got to do is have Jesus Christ in your heart, and you living for him, you serving him, you're going to want to encourage someone because someone has encouraged me. And I always try to say something encouraging to someone, you know. Whether you think they listen to you or not, you'd be surprised how people listen to you. Just a word. Yes. All you have to do is a few words. Sometimes all you have to do is say good morning or speak to them.
Amen.
You know, that's all. That's all you have to do, and it don't cost nobody nothing. But if you're into the Lord and you know you're living for the Lord and you want to do the things to help you get closer to him and you want to act like him, you want to be recognized like him and do what he would do, yes, it's very important to be encouragement. I just thank God that now I know the value of that and I can do that. Like I said, I don't have to have no college degree or none of that. You don't even have to have a high school diploma, okay?
Amen.
You got to be into the Lord. You got to trust and believe in him and know that you are doing something. And our Sunday school lesson was about giving comfort to one another last Sunday. And that was very powerful. You don't know what you might say that's going to comfort somebody. Get your mouth open and do it. That's all. It don't cost nobody nothing. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Before your comment tonight, let me go to our next caller. Last four digits, 1741. 1741, good evening.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Encouragement is so important to people, and there's so many ways you can encourage people. And when we encourage people, we take our mind off ourselves, and we don't have time to judge and point fingers and see the bad and see the weakness in others, because God took... You know, he loved us in spite of. And so we, you know, we need to love other people in spite of and see the good in them. It's good in people. You know, sometimes we just see so much bad, you know, but we stop and see the good and encourage that person. And one good thing about encouragement, sometimes people themselves don't feel good about themselves. They don't feel good about themselves, you know, and, you know, when you encourage them, you build them up. You strengthen them. And so encouragement is good. I thank God for the encouragers in my life, and I thank God for letting me be able to encourage people because, like the sister said before, it doesn't cost anything. It's free. It's free. And when you do it from the heart, And it's not something that you plan. Sometimes God just plant a person there. And sometimes you just end up saying good morning to them or how are you feeling or make a comment about the children or something. And you find yourself talking to them. And sometimes just that conversation ease their burden and lighten their load. I mean, you know, we never know what we can say that will bring a smile to somebody's face, you know.
Amen.
So I thank God. I thank God for the encouragers because it really gets you through life. And Lord knows, I know if it wasn't for some people that came and encouraged me, I wouldn't know, especially riding the buses and the subways and sometimes just walking. It was just a delight. And sometimes I'll say, oh, thank you, Jesus, you know, because you know what I needed, you know.
Yes.
But I thank God for the people that he puts in your pathway to bring a smile to your face, to bring some joy to your face, you know. So I thank God. God take care of his children, okay?
Yes.
I do believe that he take care of his children. And if we are walking closely with him, he's going to send someone along our way. When we having a hard, difficult time, God is going to send someone along our way to encourage our heart, to build us up. And I truly believe that. And sometimes it's not the big things. You know, it's just the little things you might say or do for a person, but they will always remember it because it came at a time when they needed the most, and that's what's important.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We go to our next caller. Last four digits, 3343. 3343, good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Encouragement, yes, I guess I do, because I have a little young sister of mine. We encourage each other to stay in the Bible and keep all the time. And every time I got an associate, I won't say a friend, but associate I deal with. And when we encourage them, when she says some things to me, and say something about God and how she loved God and speak about God all the time. And I said to myself, where did she come up? Because she remembered the little devil all the time. But she said it all the time. But she stayed. Well, every time I call her, and she would come across and speak about God and speak about how she's doing. And she never did do that before. So I said, am I encouraging her to do these things that she's doing? Because we speak about God all the time. And I got a little young sister that never let me down, let me know that we encourage each other each day that we live this, as long as we live it. We still be doing it to her. She said to her, and I stay encouraging to her, and she stay encouraging me. And I try to stay encouraged to my little friend that I actually hear nothing but devil with her little mouth. But she talks about God now. And I'm so glad if I hear that to her. Really, I am very much. Thank you.
Amen.
Amen. For you tonight, we're going to go to our next caller. And the last four digits, 8760. 8760, good evening.
Good evening. Could you repeat the question?
Yes, understanding the importance of encouraging someone and being encouraged yourself.
It is very important for you to encourage someone because then, I mean, we don't know what people are going through, you know, and by you encouraging someone else, they're not feeling alone. And, you know, they feel like, okay, well, maybe I can confide in this person because, you know, they encouraged me. And also, by you encouraging other people, that you at times can encourage yourself as well. Because
right.
It's like you start to believe that, like, oh, okay, I'm letting her know that, you know, she could do it. Well, I could do it too, you know.
That's right.
They can say, you know, I'm letting them know that God is with them. Well, God is with me too. You know, you start looking back and you start realizing like, wow, okay, what I've been telling that person is the same thing that I should have been saying to myself the whole time because that's what's been happening. So it's very important for you to encourage other people and to encourage yourself.
Amen. Amen.
Comment tonight. We're going to go to our next caller. Last four digits, 0266. 0266. Good evening. All right. They must be listening in. We're going to go to our next caller. Last four digits, 5236. 5236. Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
It's very important to be able to give encouragement just because you, of course, everybody said it. You never know what you can say or do to give the next person that relief or that understanding and that push to continue in life. And, you know, holding each other down and being able to be encouraging to somebody else. Like get through the day and through a challenge that you might not even know. So.
Amen.
Well, thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to our next caller. Last four digits, 9880. 9880. Good evening. All right. Must be listening in. We're going to go to our next caller. Last four digits, 1712. 1712, good evening.
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Yeah, it's definitely a great question. I know it's one of the many tools that God gives us to help each other along the way. I am a product of encouragement. You know, there have been many a time where I thought the journey was impossible. What I was going through was impossible to overcome, and I had people who were put in my life, anything from family to friends to people I didn't even think would be paying attention to what's going on, approach me and offer me words of encouragement. And for me, I didn't appreciate it early on, but as I got older, I started to realize how important it is to encourage someone. And I think you all said it best because this is kind of coming on the heels of a story I told yesterday about my coworker who was kind of going through some things. And every so often I had an opportunity, I offered some words of encouragement. You know, New Birth Baptist Church lifted her up in prayer, and you know, and that was what she needed. But again, you never know what someone's going through. And you know, the mental game is something that's extremely tough, because it's one thing to go through a situation, but when you're mentally telling yourself you're defeated, you're never going to win, and you're going backwards. But I know when I've offered words of encouragement to people, I've also gotten something out of it, maybe not right away, but, you know, I end up realizing, like, man, you know, how can I give somebody words of encouragement and tell them to trust God, but then when I'm going through something, I'm not following my own advice. Mm. I'm not a product of what I'm preaching or the words of wisdom that I give somebody. I myself am not living by that. And you know, and even when you give people, you know, words of encouragement, it goes a long way. And then you'll see things happen full circle. There have been times that I've given people words of encouragement, and months later, maybe sometimes even years later, you know, you get that feedback like, hey, you know, I was at rock bottom, but you came and you gave me a word, or you did a kind gesture, or you did something, and that stuck with me. And then guess what happens? It gets reciprocated. So now when they see somebody going through something, what you think they're going to do? They're going to offer them a word. They're going to offer them words of encouragement. So that's why you have to realize, when we take self out of it, we spread it. Just like bad things can spread, we can also spread good things. So when you encourage others, and then they understand the encouragement, and you also encourage them with the word of the Lord, now they have a testimony. So now when they're around people, or they see somebody, said, you know what, Brother Brandon prayed for me that time, or Brother Brandon offered me a word, a kind word, so now I recognize that somebody else is in that same boat, so now let me do it. And before you know it, we're all encouraging each other on this journey. And we're not going to always be 100%. I know pastors way more seasoned. You guys are way more seasoned than me, but guess what? We pray for y'all. We encourage y'all. You know what I'm saying? Just because you may be on a different tier or hierarchy in the church doesn't mean that you may not need some prayer from your members, or from a deacon, or look, from a minister of music. We all need it at different points and times in our life. And, you know, and I had an opportunity to speak to a brother that just got out of prison, you know, a couple years ago, and he was like, man, this is impossible. That's impossible. This is impossible. I said, brother, slow down. Just take it one day at a time. And I said, I learned this a long time ago. I said, take that word impossible and separate that M and separate that P. And I said, what you got? It says, I'm possible. You put God first, and God will make sure that you're possible. I'm possible. As long as you put God first in your life, you can do all things. But you got to take it one step at a time. You got to slow down, and you got to remember how you mentally proceed, how your spirit is. When you're not connected with the Lord, you're going to make the journey much tougher on you. But you got to get God in your life. You got to establish a relationship with the Lord. And then when you do that, then you can be opened up. Then when people start to encourage you, it makes sense, and you can use that encouragement to carry you along the way. But you got to remember that through Christ, all things are possible. But it starts with God. But we got to remember, as Christians, we have a role in it too. And you got to always remember, we are possible. We can conquer, and we can do whatever we want, as long as we put God at the head of our life. But I can't say it enough, encouragement is key, because without it, some of us aren't going to finish the journey, and some of us are going to be too scared to take that one step, that next step, to try to continue along a lifelong commitment. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to our next caller. Last four digits, 9880. 9880. Good evening.
Good evening. Yes, I do definitely believe that it's important to have people encourage you, but as well as be an encourager. You know, a lot of times, like everybody's been saying on this line, that, you know, we all just go through things. We all go through life and just try and deal with it in our own way. And encouragement is definitely important, and it comes in different forms. You know, it may come, we were kind of talking about this in the prayer line the other day, or yesterday. It may come in a song, it may come in a scripture, it may come, you know, it may come through somebody else, it may come through, you know, people who are going through what you're going through, you know. So it's so important, because it also makes you, you know, feel, especially as a young Christian, and also me personally, it makes me feel like, okay, I'm not perfect, you know, and I don't have to be perfect. I don't have to necessarily fit in a certain criteria, you know, to play this role and to do what I need to do, and to become stronger and better within my walk with Christ. You know, I can lean on people who are kind of going through the same thing, and it makes me feel better about what I am going through, and it makes me, you know, it helps me to continue to push through. You know, I was dealing with a lot this week, and, you know, I was having a conversation with my mom today, and through her encouragement, it really kind of, I don't even know what allowed me to open up to her about what I was just dealing with mentally, like on what was on my mind. And once I did, because she has been in this working world, and because she is, you know, she is a strong woman, and she has gone through so many things in her life, she was able to encourage me and help me to understand and have a certain mindset of, you know, people will let you down, you know, and you have to allow God and lean on God and be strong within Him, so that you don't focus on what they got going on. You focus on what God has brought you to do, you know. So that's all I wanted to say.
Amen.
All right. Thank you for your comment tonight. Dr. G, that's going to wrap it up for us tonight. Any final words, and close it out in prayer, please.
All right. Well, I think, you know, the question was an excellent one. And we all have to understand that God did not create us to be a loner. He created us to incorporate other people into our lives. And that's what family does, whether it's a spiritual family or a secular family. You know, we're all in this together. Satan, on the other hand, tries to separate and divide folk. And that's why, you know, you'll get people that go in the opposite direction. They're mad with one another, don't want to speak, don't want to say anything. But, you know, that's not what love is all about. And if, you know, you love people and you love the Lord, He wants you to encourage other people. Let us pray. Eternal God, our Father, we thank you, Lord, for just one more evening that we've been able to come together and study your word. Lord, we thank you for studying in the book of Acts, that 21st chapter. Father, we thank you for the examples that Paul set. Lord, we ask now that you would be with us the rest of the week, and whatever your will is, O God, let it be done. We pray, Lord, that when it is ready and it's time that we come together in our separate churches, O God, that you would meet us there. Father, we thank you, we praise you, and we ask it all right now in the precious name, Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Right, that's going to do it for us tonight. Brother, we'll see you again on next Thursday night. Good night.
Good night.